This was a good weekend. We got a Giannis bobblehead, 1-2 out of 3 against the Reds. Quite frankly, the Brewers kind of saved the weekend for Wisconsin. Sorry, Packers and Badgers fans. All right, Brewers back on track. Let's talk about it next.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, new week. Happy Monday, everybody. Brewers, again, they got 2 out of 3. As bad as Friday was, they're back on track, beating the team they're supposed to beat. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast, Monday through Friday, dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. I'm also the post-game host on WTMJ for Brewers Extra Innings, and I'm the statistician on Bally Sports Wisconsin. I'm at just about every single game. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers or myself at Dom_Catronio. It's been a while since I've asked, but hey, if you're new to the pod, if you just arrived, drop a rating. If you're on Spotify, a little 5-star helps. If you're on Apple Pod, drop a review. It really goes a longer way than you may expect. I read all the comments on YouTube. I know I don't respond to many of them, but I do appreciate everyone's input, and I try to take some inspiration from the comments there into what we put into the show. So your participation is greatly appreciated on this show. Okay, Brewers, get back on track. It got stressful in the ninth, in that ninth inning with Devin Williams, but it wasn't all his fault. 7-6 victory. Shout out to Rowdy. Shout out to Willie. And now it's real. This is how we're going to start things off every day the rest of the season. 21 games to go. All right, 21 to go. They're 2 games back of a playoff spot, technically 3 because of tiebreaker scenarios. The Padres lost to the Dodgers. They lost the series. The Brewers gained 2 games on them over the weekend. But now it gets real. The Brewers have the Cardinals starting tomorrow, a 2-game set for the last ones down in St. Louis, home for the Yankees for the weekend, then home for the Mets next midweek before they go to Cincinnati for 4 games. So that means the next 8 consecutive games are going to be against teams not only above 500, but currently leading their division. It is going to be a massive test moving forward for the Brew Crew. What do you think is the target score? What do you think is the target record, per se? Look, the Brewers are 75-66 now, 21 to go. This September 11th, yesterday, was the day that the Cardinals started their 17-game winning streak last season. The Brewers have won back-to-back games. I'm not saying they're about to start a 17-game winning streak, but this is when it has to begin. You have got to go hit the gas right now with 21 games to go. They only lost 4 games to the Cardinals over their last, I think it was 28 contests, something insane like that. So the Brewers are going to need a miracle run of them. If you want to get to that magical 90-win number, you need to go 15-6, which would mean for you to get into the postseason, the Padres, who again, they lost yesterday. The Brewers actually have 1 game in hand with the Padres. They played one fewer game than San Diego. So San Diego only has 20 games remaining. If the Brewers were to make the playoffs at 90 wins, going 15-6, that means San Diego, for their final 20 games, would go 12-8. Which, in my opinion, isn't, you know, undoable. It's not impossible, right? You can still win with 90 wins while the other team is above 500. That is a realistic option for the Brewers to have. The catch is they have to be the team that takes control, going 15-6 down the stretch. And when you look at these 8 games coming up against top teams, 10 total remaining of the 21 will come against teams leading their division. 4 against the Cardinals, 3 against the Yankees, 3 against the Mets. That's where the Brewers have to find a way to survive. Coming into this series against the Cardinals tomorrow, the Brewers are a 500 team against teams above 500. They're 27-27, which most teams, I think, would take. But the Brewers, given how high they were and where they were, they would like to be above 500, but it is encouraging to see that they have hung in there. And just the eye test, they have played well against good teams this season. You look at their record against the AL East this year, winning a series against the Orioles, sweeping the Rays 4 games to none, winning 2 out of 3 against Boston, and winning a series against Toronto. So, I mean, already 4 series victories against the East. Now they await the Yankees, who, here's a mind-blowing stat for you. Since July 1st, the Brewers have a better record than the New York Yankees. And you're saying, oh, Dom, they play in a harder division. they have the likely MVP. They have Aaron Judge, who's going to be, could be a triple crown winner in the American League. He could hit 61 homers. They still have a worse record than the Brewers since July 1st. The Yankees are 29-35. The Brewers are 34-35. That's something. The Yankees have been battling injuries all year long, just like the Brewers have been. And their bullpen is just now starting to come back together, but their offense has been atrocious. It has been Judge and nobody else. Stanton's missed most of the year. He's back now. I don't pay attention to position player home runs, whereas he hit a home run off a position player. Yeah, cool. He hit a rocket off Christian Bethencourt. Big whoop. Talk to me when he's actually hitting home runs again, and then the short porch out there in right field and everything like that. They have one of the worst offenses on the road in all of baseball. You get away from their short porch, they're human. The Brewers have a chance in that series coming up this weekend, but that's down the road. The Cardinals are waiting. Two things coming up with the Cardinals starting tomorrow. Jordan Montgomery getting the ball, lefty, shoved against the Brewers last time. He's been on a roll since going to St. Louis. Brewers are going to have to fight through that southpaw slump that they've been fighting all season long. They've got to find a way against him. And tomorrow, we found out, will be a bullpen day for the Brewers. They do not have a set starter. Craig Counsell said they will reveal it probably the day of. They're not sure because they needed to give... You're not going to pitch Jason Alexander on short rest against the Cardinals. You're not going to call up Ethan Small in the middle of a postseason race. They decided to move Corbin Burns back. And looking ahead at the schedule, they moved Corbin Burns back for one day. And by my count, I'm just double-checking it live right now here as I tape this. I did this during the post-game show on WTMJ yesterday. But by my count, if Corbin Burns goes every fifth day because they moved him to Wednesday with these off days, he will start all the way to the last series of the year. He'll make four more starts. So Wednesday against the Cardinals, one. Then one, two, three, four, five. Monday against the Mets, two. One, two, three, four, five. Saturday against the Reds, that's three. One, two, three, four, five. Then next Thursday against the Marlins, that's four. And then one, two, three, four, five. He would start the second to last game of the season on October 4th against the Diamondbacks. So five starts potentially out of Corbin Burns if he goes every fifth day. That's ginormous. Then you also go ahead and date out Brandon Woodruff, who was tremendous yesterday. We're going to recap that game here in the next segment. So if you can't plan out 5 days for Brandon Woodruff, one, two, three, four, five. His next start likely would be Saturday against the Yankees. I imagine they were going to put Hauser on the 16th because of the off days. So you could put Woodruff on the 17th. Then one, two, three, four, five. Thursday against the Reds, one, two, three, four, five. Tuesday against the Cardinals at home. So that's three. One, two, three, four, five. Sunday against the Marlins in the final series of the year, but then he wouldn't pitch again in the penultimate series of the year, I should say. Then he wouldn't pitch again against the Diamondbacks. So then they can decide, well, what if they put him on Friday against the Yankees on the fifth day as it's supposed to be, and then put Hauser on the 17th? Then you have the opportunity maybe to start Brandon Woodruff on short rest for the last day of the regular season on October 5th and get five starts out of him as well. That's what the Brewers are trying to fit together in their puzzle pieces right now. Aaron Ashby threw a long toss yesterday. He's on the way back. They expect Eric Lauer to miss the minimum. They hope with his elbow issue that popped up, nothing came back of alarm in the MRI. They want to give him rest and strengthening time to come back. They're sliding potentially either the 20th or the 21st against the Mets, depending on how they want to play things there. But today is the first of the final three off days coming for the Brewers, and they all come in the next 14 days. And there's 21 games to go. So 21 games in 24 days, they get to finally have a breather. And in case you're wondering, the 31 games in 31 days, the Brewers went 15-16, playing some poor opponents. They didn't play their best baseball. And over this 18-17 stretch, they went 10-8. They held their own. They didn't play great, but they held their own. Now they get to enjoy some off days. All right, let's get some positive vibe going. Talk about yesterday's contest. Before we get there, I want to tell you about one of our biggest sponsors, LinkedIn. As you're gearing up for fall, maybe you're owning a small business and you need the right people on your team to help you fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs. You can reach your network and beyond. the largest professional network in the world. Over 810 million people use LinkedIn. In fact, there are over 40 million job seekers every single week that visit LinkedIn. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Simple tools like screening questions. It's so much easier to focus on the right candidates with the right skills and experience so you can find who you want to interview faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnMLB. Again, linkedin.com/LockedOnMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. 7-6. It got tense. Reds made it interesting, but the offense showed up for the Brewers in certain aspects. Rowdy Tellez, have yourself a day. 10th career multi-homer game. He's got 30 homers for the first time in his career. He's playing everyday baseball. The Brewers have been very, very excited to see his development. I did talk about on the pregame show yesterday on WTMJ that he's only missed 8 games this year. 8, where he's had the total day off. And this is the first time he has played every day in his career. It catches up to your body. And to have a day like this yesterday, with 3 extra base hits, 2 homers and a double, that certainly gives yourself some new life. You feel a little lighter, you feel a little better walking around the clubhouse. He needed that bad. Again, 10th career multi-homer game. Both homers were clutch shots. And it's the 5th time this season he's got a multiple homer game. I tweeted this as well, @Dom_Catronio. Real quick, who do you think has the most multi-homer games in a single season in Brewers history? I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Duh. Robin Yount. Guess what year? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Duh. 1982. All right, was that really that hard? 7 multi-hit games, or multi-homer games, excuse me, for Robin Yount in 1982. That is the all-time Brewer record. Now Rowdy has 5. Most recently to have 6, Richie Sexton had 6 in 2001. Also, Ryan Braun did it twice in 2012 and 2016. And, of course, in 1982, Gorman Thomas also did it. But Rowdy joins an eclectic crew here, with Christian Yelich last doing it in 2019 with 5 multi-homer games in a single season. Also, Chris Davis did it in 2015. Jeremy Burnitz did it in 2001. It's a pretty good crowd here for Rowdy Tellez to join with 5 multi-homer games this season for the Brewers. Congrats to him. Also, record chasing of chasing the kid, Robin Yount, Willy Adames. He hit number 27 and number 28 on his homers over the weekend against the Reds. So he's now 1 homer shy of tying Robin Yount for the most homers by a Brewer shortstop in franchise history. No Brewer shortstop has ever hit 30. His next one will tie Robin, and then if he gets 30, he'll have the record all alone. And mind you, Willie missed a month with an ankle injury. And Hunter Renfro, who's got 26 homers, he missed a little over a month with his injuries this year. Imagine the Brewer offense right now if both of those guys didn't miss any time. Speaking of guys who haven't had a day off, Willie's only games that he's missed were the games on the IL. He missed those 22 games. That's it. He has played every single game. Started every single game that he was active for. That is worth something for Willy Adames, too. He's going to try to play all 162 next year, I imagine. As he stated, that was his desire right before he got hurt, ironically enough, in Miami earlier this year. He wants to play. He's in there every day. He's playing near Gold Glove caliber defense. What a captain for the Brewers. They got out and running early in this game. Rowdy Tellez, 3 batters in, ropes a double down the right field line. Brewers up 2-0 against Justin Dunn. In the top of that inning, Brandon Woodruff had struck out the side. So you're sitting here thinking, whew, exhale. Finally, the Brewers are playing like the Brewers are supposed to against the Reds. And then the bottom of the order for the Reds, a couple of doinks, a couple of hits, and you blink, and it's suddenly 2-2. I don't think Woodruff really made any bad pitches. It was just they were on time for the fastball, and that was really the only time they got on time for the fastball. Roman hit a curveball, and I think Brandon Woodruff realized, I need to dominate with my fastball today. And that's what he did. The rest of that game, he was a man possessed. He was terrific in this game. Again, at home, he's got a sub-2.3 ERA at home this season. Awesome stuff from Brandon Woodruff once again. Another quality start. His 15th career double-digit strikeout game. He got 11 strikeouts in this contest. Did exactly what he needed to do to put the team on his back and move forward. Then the Brewers added right back in the bottom of the second a great 4-run rally, all with 2 outs despite leading off the inning with a walk from on-base Jace. I know on-base Jace doesn't get the sexy headlines, but leadoff walks and then the Brewers able to cash in because the top of the order came up, huge. That's why he's in this lineup. That's why he's such a huge piece. And that's why, in my opinion, it was a big factor while he was on the injured list, while the Brewers were sliding. You didn't have that reliable on-base threat in the bottom half of the order. He's not going to bat above seventh in the order most days. It'd be a real headline if he's batting above seventh. So to have that guy that can draw a walk and get a base hit, can use a little bit of speed too, it lengthens the lineup. We talk about that all the time. And he was helping get it over to the top of the order. Yelich an opposite field single to bring in Jace, set the stage for Willie to the homer, and then Rowdy going back-to-back with his first homer of the day. Everything was going great. Everything was turning up roses, 6-2. Rowdy added another homer in the fourth inning. Woodruff is rolling. He goes through six innings, and then he's pulled from the game. And I saw Brewers Twitter freaking out. Here we go again. It's going to be just like Tuesday night in Colorado. Oh my goodness, what we're doing? What? Oh my God. Why would Council pull him out? Why is Peter Strzelecki coming in? Oh my gosh, what the heck's going wrong? And he allowed a two-run homer, and the panic continued to set in. Oh my God, they're going to do this again. Look, I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. You're going to need Brandon Woodruff for these final five starts, and hopefully in October. Do you want to waste the bullets now or later? I'd rather use the bullets later. And Brandon Woodruff, as I said after Tuesday's loss, did his job. 95 pitches, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts. Could he have gone more? Maybe. You're absolutely right. Maybe. Did he need to? No. Should he have had to? No. It was 7-2. And at home, you need to trust your bullpen enough, and especially the B-tier guys, the Strzelecki's, the Suters, the Perdomos, the Trevor Kelly's, the Justin Topas, to get you through this game without getting it close. It didn't happen again. It gave the Brewers an opportunity to rest Matt Busch, though. Taylor Rogers, another scoreless inning with a pair of strikeouts in the eighth. Hat tip to him. And then things got dicey on Devin Williams in the ninth. But I don't blame Devin Williams for what happened completely. I think Devin only made one mistake in this game. Spencer Steer leading off the frame, a guy that has never seen Devin. And Devin throws his third best pitch, his cutter, and he hung it to Steer for a leadoff double. Devin, I think you're a great pitcher. I think you're a great dude. Just throw a million changeups and that kid will have no idea how to react. There was no need to get cute with the cutter. Notice he didn't throw the cutter the rest of the game. And if I'm Chris Hook, I'm obviously not Chris Hook. I don't know how you approach it with Devin, because we've talked about Devin needing to develop a third pitch and it hasn't happened as quickly as maybe the Brewers hoped. His slider has never really been there coming up, trying to morph it into a cutter this year. I don't know how you broach the subject of, hey, dude, look, I know we tried developing this third pitch this year, but at some point, every inning you pitch is so high leverage, we can't afford a mistake on your third best pitch. Go ahead and shelve it. Fastball has been great this season, the fastball command especially. Let's stick with the fastball changeup, shelve the cutter for the offseason, and see what we get. That's my thought, because a check swing, half swing grounder, nothing you can do about that. Jace's error was poorly timed to bring home a run, but then Devin locked it down. A strikeout on Kyle Farmer, a little blooper to left center field, that's doing his job, and then a strikeout of India. That is what closers do. Devin Williams fought through adversity. He made one mistake, the double to Steer, and then locked in from there. I thought Devin pitched a great game. If you want to say, oh, but Dom, he allowed 2 runs. I don't think that was all on him. I thought Devin pitched well, aside from the one cutter selection. And the Brewers need to figure this out for the middle relief. They're missing Trevor Gott right now. He was supposed to start his rehab assignment yesterday as Appleton's season finished up yesterday, but they had a rainout. So he's going to go to Nashville now. He'll pitch on Tuesday and Thursday next. They are certainly missing Trevor Gott. You wonder if Aaron Ashby is going to move into a swingman role coming up here for the rest of the season when he returns from the injured list. The Brewers have some options returning for the bullpen moving forward. And again, Tuesday will be a bullpen day tomorrow against St. Louis, and then they'll pick up the pieces and figure out what they want to do moving forward with Ashby and Lauer and Peralta for these final 3 weeks. I have to remind folks, too, if you're mad about Woodruff being pulled after 6 innings and 95 pitches, a guy that's barely gone over 100 pitches since coming off the IL, the Brewers are down 3 starters right now. You cannot afford losing another. It's over if you lose another, especially Brandon Woodruff. I'm fine with pulling him after six innings. That's going to change, I think, in the final week and a half or so, where if he's your best option and you need to give the bullpen a quick breather, I can imagine Woodruff being pushed for that seventh inning and then bringing in a Hobie and then bringing in a Gott and then bringing in a Rogers to finish up the final six or seven outs. Let's play it, see how it works out. It should work in the Brewers' favor that they're getting healthier. They aren't losing guys. I think Freddie Peralta's done for the year, but they should be gaining arms down the stretch, which is always good news. We're going to look around the league, get you ready for the Cardinals after a quick breather. Okay, again, a two-game deficit now in the wild card, essentially three because of the tiebreaker. The Phillies won yesterday, but the Padres lost. So the Phillies are currently in the second wild card. They're a game and a half up on San Diego, who are two games up on Milwaukee. Schedules get a little funky this week. Again, the two games coming up right now for the Brewers and the Cardinals, eight consecutive games against division leaders. San Diego just finished up a really tough series with the Dodgers. Now they get ready for the Seattle Mariners, who just won on a thriller yesterday against the Braves. A game-tying homer by Julio Rodriguez off Kenley Jansen in the ninth, followed up a couple batters later by Eugenio Suarez hitting a home run off Jansen to walk it off. Go watch the last two innings of that game, by the way. It was insane. Mariners feeling playoff fever right now, so that's going to be a hard place to play for San Diego. Then they go down to Arizona for four games with them. They'll see Zach Gallen. They'll see Merrill Kelly. By the way, Zach Gallen's scoreless streak is over at 44 and a third innings. Congratulations to him. Then, when the Padres return home, they'll have the Cardinals for three. So they're not out of the woods yet as far as facing solid teams. These next three series, they're facing good teams just like the Brewers are. Yes, the Diamondbacks are under 500, but the Brewers fans certainly know they're a better team than the record indicates. And then later on in the year, later on in September, Tuesday through Thursday is their last series, the 27th through the 29th, against the Dodgers. That'll be in San Diego. That'll be the last opponent they have above 500. That's assuming the White Sox fall back below 500 since they just beat up on the A's all weekend long. But they still have a series remaining with the White Sox as well in San Diego. So their gauntlet, if you will, is kind of a little more spread out. They have a series here and there against above 500 teams. So two against the Mariners, three against the Cardinals, three against the Dodgers. And then if you want to throw the White Sox in there, three more. So that's 11 games against teams above 500. The Brewers have 10. So virtually the same there. As for the Phillies, they get ready for a tough stretch before it eases up for them down the end of the year. The Phillies get ready for a series with the Marlins, in which they'll face Sandy Alcantara again, then three with the Braves, then two with the Blue Jays, then four with the Braves. This is where their season is going to get tough, because they get the coast with the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Astros. The only catch there is all 10 of those games to end the year are on the road. So every team's got a little something funky going on here down the stretch. The Brewers have to survive these next eight games to decide what kind of a team they're going to be heading into the postseason. When you look around the league right now, when you look at divisional races, the NL East is getting crazy. So the Braves are going to have plenty to play for, just like the Mets will against the Brewers. So that's going to be very, very difficult. The good news is the Brewers are likely going to miss Max Scherzer. He's on the IL with an oblique strain. Maybe you flip a coin and hopefully you miss Jacob deGrom over those 3 days. Otherwise, there's only one lefty in the Mets rotation. As for the Yankees, only one lefty in their rotation. That's Nestor Cortez. Everything else is flamethrower and righties. Gerrit Cole, Frankie Montas. The Brewers have seen plenty of Jameson Taillon during his time with the Pirates, and you'll also see Domingo Germán. So pretty similar profile righties. Their bullpen is getting healthier, but they're still not quite yet at full strength. Elsewhere, again, the Brewers are currently finding themselves eight games back of the Cardinals. Albert passed A-Rod yesterday, 697 career home runs. The Brewers are certainly hoping they're not going to be the team that allows the home run number 700 to Albert. But they got four more games head-to-head, so they're hoping to avoid that. And they have to deal with the pageantry in two fashions. They have to deal with the pageantry of Albert Pujols officially becoming the fourth most home runs all time this week, coming up tomorrow in St. Louis. And on Wednesday, when Adam Wainwright gets a start, assuming with Yadier Molina behind the plate, they will officially become the all-time longest tenured battery in baseball history. It'll be the 325th time in the regular season Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright serve as a pitcher-catcher tandem in a start. And that will be the most in baseball history. So there'll be, I imagine, a ceremony and an award for that, for Waino and for Yadi. Thank goodness it's the end for Yadi and for Albert Pujols. Wainwright, again, has not stated his intentions for what he wants to do next season. Brewers are not going to win the Central. They're 8 games back with only 4 head-to-head. I said all season long that it was going to come down to the last week. Turns out it didn't. The Cardinals I've been playing the best baseball in the second half in all of Major League Baseball. Hat tip to them. It's voodoo magic. We've talked about it. You know it. I know it. It is what it is. Right now, the Mets are 1.5 games up on the Braves. And then the Dodgers have already clinched a playoff spot. In my book, they've clinched the NL West. They're 20 games up on the Padres. So that's just about over with. The Dodgers have 96 wins. 96. Juggernaut. Insanity. Their run differential is plus 310. Again, plus 310. The Cardinals' run differential, good team, plus 128. The Dodgers' run differential is more than double the Cardinals, who have the third best record. The Braves' run differential is 159, so a little less than double. It's insane, absolutely insane what the Dodgers are doing right now. Over in the American League, the wild card is where the only drama will be as far as seedings, and the AL Central. Tampa Bay is currently 1/2 game up on Seattle. Or rather, they're tied, I should say now, virtually in record. Seattle has 2 games in hand over Tampa Bay, 79 and 61. Tampa Bay is 78 and 60. They're both 1/2 game up on Toronto. And that third spot is 5.5 games clear of Baltimore. So it looks like Baltimore, they probably will finish above 500, but they will not make the postseason, which has been a fun story for them. And in the American League Central, things are heating up between Cleveland, Chicago, and Minnesota. Cleveland is still holding on to a 2.5-game lead over the White Sox. And then Minnesota, on a free fall all of a sudden, they're 4.5 games back, and they're under 500 now. They're 69 and 70 as we begin play today. So the AL Central is really the only drama in the American League. Tampa Bay is 5.5 back now. The Yankees, I don't think they're going to have enough time to catch New York. Okay, big, heavy-hitting episode. We had a lot get into it. Real quick, though, I know I said it's a daily podcast. Look, we just finished off 18 games in 17 days. I'm taking the day off today, guys. No pod coming tomorrow. We'll have full reaction all week long, though, for the Cardinals coming up these next 2 days. We'll have a mailbag episode leading into Friday's against the Yankees. So Thursday's off. They will spend the day doing a mailbag, and then we'll have the Yankees come to town this weekend. So, again, no episode coming tomorrow. Let's enjoy the off day together. You can sulk in the Packers' loss if you wish, and the Badgers' loss if you wish. I won't, but it's still baseball season. Stay with us now. Come on, don't abandon ship yet. It's still baseball season. Hang in there. It could get crazy. You're going to want to stick around for this. 21 to go. Buckle up. Game tomorrow, 6:40. Brewers at Cardinals. Can't wait to see you on Bally Sports Wisconsin. No show tomorrow. Catch me on the post game. WTMJ, Brewers extra innings after the game. Mañana. That's it. Fun episode. It's fun to talk about wins. It's fun to talk about good weekends. Awesome stuff. Brewers win 7-6. Buckle up. It's going to be crazy. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.